And we are back. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. Well, it's been a while since we updated our listeners with ideas for good films to stream or even to get out to see in person. It's a good time to do this as the weather is growing colder and we all want to sit inside a little more often, whether it's at home or maybe indoors at a theater. We're going to talk about a couple of films that I'm especially interested in, Belfast and Kurt Vonnegut, Unstuck in Time, and one film set in Kansas City about sexual abuse committed by Catholic priests. With us once again are our film critics, and they are Cindy Haynes. Cindy, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Steve.
And Steve Walker as well. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
We're also joined by Michael Sandridge, who appears in a new documentary on Netflix titled Procession. It's a close look at how several men who were victims of sexual abuse at the hands of Catholic priests have worked to heal themselves from unspeakable trauma. In Procession, the tool that's used is drama therapy, and the film is shot here in Kansas City. Michael Sandridge, thanks for taking some time with us this morning and sharing your story. Much appreciated.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Michael, how difficult was it to appear on camera talking about what had happened to you when you were a young man?
It was rather difficult at first, but being around other people that went through the same thing, it got easier as the film progressed.
How old were you when this abuse occurred?
I was 10.
Wow. How old were you when you were able to talk about it?
Basically, in my early 50s.
So 40 years had to go by before you could really confront something like this.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. What is drama therapy? Because that's sort of the idea that the film Procession is sort of centered around. Each of the people who have been abused in the film undergo drama therapy, agree to go through it. What is it, Michael?
Well, drama therapy was an influence on the film, but as far as being actual therapy for the people in it, it wasn't quite that way. It set the parameters for what we could do in the film. It was basically a safety net for everyone involved. And that's what it was. It was a reenactment through drama of what happened. But a drama therapist per se, unless she was specialized in childhood sexual abuse, would not necessarily perform that kind of thing. We did it within ourselves with her directing and giving us parameters and tools to use ourselves.
So you had to re-enter this trauma all over again. How difficult was that?
It was easier when I was helping other people. It was much more difficult when I was scripting my own and having other people do it in front of me.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is this is what healing looks like, is undergoing something like this. Does that sound right to you?
It could be a process in healing and a new way to try it. What I think happened was you have a documentary and you infused it you came with a new idea to present ideas, but also have a healing side effect for us. I don't know if it worked for everyone, but it definitely worked for us in this film.
Steve, do you have any questions for Michael, having seen the film yourself? And I think you appreciated it a lot.
I appreciate it a lot. Michael, it's nice to meet you. What stuck out for me was the fact that the priest seemed to have lake houses, not one, but a few. And they became these places where they would take the kids and you know, things happened there at the lake houses. I don't know if that was your experience or if it was all local.
Well, it was all local, Lake Viking and Lake of the Ozarks. My experience, it's odd that you say that. A lot of it was within water, with a pool for several of us too. And for others, it was a lake house. So the water was an odd thing for all of us.
Hmm. Cindy, how about you? Do you have a question for Michael?
Yes, I'm really intrigued by Netflix involvement in this project. Michael, how did this come about? Because you're going to have a huge, huge audience with this film.
Yeah. I know, we're all in shock about that too, and we're very grateful to Netflix. We were in Telluride where the documentary premiered, and we'd never been to a film festival like that. It's an amazing thing with Amazon, all these people, and just with Robert, just to show the film, he was accepted. And somehow Netflix was there. They sent people in to see it. And it really intrigued them because it was such a new idea. And they got together and then I guess 2 weeks later purchased the film. So that's how that came about.
Michael, what do you hope people get out of this film, Procession?
I hope they get an understanding of what one moment in someone's life can affect everything. And that you can go on. You know, the Catholics need to stop being blind. Let's just get rid of the bad people in the church. It's a simple, believe the obvious, and let's get on and let's get healing done. And don't be afraid to talk about it. And hopefully people will come forward and just talk about it.
Well, that's Michael Sandridge. Again, he appears in the new Netflix documentary. It's titled Procession. Michael, sure appreciate you sharing your story. Thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome, and great to be here. Good luck.
You bet. We'll talk and review the film Procession in just a few minutes, but first I want to get on to some other films. Let's start with Kurt Vonnegut, Unstuck in Time, Cindy. This is director Bob Weedy finally completes his 39 years in the making documentary about this iconoclastic writer who turned generations of college students onto literature. Tell us about it.
Well, if you think you knew Vonnegut before, you're going to learn an awful lot about him, and I think they have a different perspective on the books that he's famous for. The documentary follows Vonnegut from his Indianapolis childhood to his time as a prisoner of war in World War II. And he was in Dresden during the firebombing. And I had no idea that that was part of his story. But there are a lot of details that this documentary goes into using archival footage, animation, and even Vonnegut's narration. But there was a guy who was a major fan of Vonnegut's, and they connected, and it did take a very long time to get this documentary made. But I think anyone who has any interest whatsoever in Vonnegut should definitely see this. And it's available video on demand.
Why was he so successful, Cindy, at turning on generations of college students to literature? What was his trick? What was his secret?
You know, I really don't know. But there's a whole generation that did connect with him and understood the horrors of war. And so he brought all of this to light, you know, through his extraordinary classic books.
The film, again, is titled Kurt Vonnegut, Unstuck in Time. And we have a clip from this film, Cindy. Do you want to set it up for us?
Don't quite know which one we're going to listen to.
I think
to.
He's talking about his high school where he developed his writing style. Let's listen to a little bit here from Kurt Vonnegut, Unstuck in Time.
One of the luckiest breaks for Kurt Vonnegut is that he went to Shortridge High School, one of the finest high schools in the country.
It was an extraordinary high school. It was better than any university I ever went to. This is where I got my foundation in chemistry and ancient history. This place had a daily paper in Shortridge Echo. My parents worked on it, so that's how long Shortridge had had a daily newspaper. I learned to write for peers, as I would write something in the paper, and the next day my fellow students would tell me what the hell they thought about it. It was a swell experience for me because I learned to write journalistic style, which was to be clear and don't bluff, and also to say as much as possible, as quickly as possible. And my books are essentially that way. I give away the big secrets in the first page and tell people what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I teach kids at UMKC every day, how to get to the point quickly and just say it. That's Kurt Vonnegut, Unstuck in Time. We're talking with our film critics this morning about some films they're recommending for you to check out, either stream or go out and see in a theater this weekend. Steve Walker, let's move to Belfast. This is a film I'm interested in. Kenneth Branagh wrote and directed this sublime autobiographical film about his childhood in a religiously split Northern Ireland back in 1969. It features the indomitable Judi Dench as his wry grandmother.
Yes, it does. I mean, we all can't get enough of Judi Dench.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here, Kenneth Branagh has worked with her a lot. She's actually played his wife, his mother, and now she's playing his 10-year-old self's grandmother.
Only Judi Dench, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. And it's shot in beautiful black and white. There's been a kind of a resurgence of black and white in the film world, which I love. And it's violent, and it's, yes, about the torn neighborhood where Protestants and Catholics made sure they knew who was who and made every effort to keep them tampered down. And but it's more about his family. He had a brother, his two parents. His father worked in England and was away for 2 weeks at a time. And his mom, and then his grandparents, played by Dench and Kieran Hines, living in a tiny apartment with the toilet out back in the alley. And it's just about the family grappling with where they're living and how long they can stand it.
This is Kenneth Branagh's, this is his first directorial push here, right?
I don't believe so, Steve. I think he's directed a couple other things. Okay. I don't know off the top of my head.
But you like this film a lot.
I liked it a lot, and I'll tell you, it was the first movie I'd seen since the COVID lockdown in a theater.
Hmm.
So that was a thrill.
I think Bob Butler, one of your colleagues here in our film critics, the former Star film critic, has written that Belfast is the best film he's seen so far this year. Let's listen to a little bit from this film. This is The Father Has an Offer for a Permanent Job That Comes with a House in England.
You want me to stay on? Permanent job in England. Wanting me to move into management. It's more money. There's a house that goes with it. We get it rent free, with a chance to own it if things go well. A wee bit bigger than what we have here. A room for each of the boys. There's a wee garden too.
Are you allowed to play football in that garden, Daddy?
Aye, son. If I say yes, there's more money straight away. We could start getting on top of that back tax now. This family's not going to get another chance like that in this town. Not now.
Here, watch out for that traffic there.
I'm watching it now, Mommy. It's okay.
Sounds like they really want you. What do you want?
I want my family with me. I want you.
That's from the film Belfast, getting strong reviews from critics. Cindy Haynes, let's move on to another one here, Prayers for the Stolen. This is Mexico's Oscar submission for the best international film. It's a coming-of-age story about teenage girls growing up in a poor village strafed by poverty, cartels, and the devastating side effects of the neighboring poppy fields.
It was directed by Tatiana Huezo, and it's based on the novel by Jennifer Clement. And as you mentioned, it's Mexico's Oscar submission for best. And they've changed the title now of this category. It is Oscar submission for best international film.
Hmm.
And you're right. It begins as a very disturbing coming of age story featuring three very talented young actresses who play a major part in the story, and they live in this remote region of Mexico, but that is totally controlled by drug cartels and a corrupt government, and parents are terrified of the dangers that their children, young children, face in the presence of these members of the cartel and the government. And it's one of the saddest, most beautiful movies I think I've seen in a long time. And it becomes a story of loss and the loss of innocence among these young girls. And, you know, when we watch stuff on Netflix with Narcos this and Narcos that, this shows a very, very tragic effect that the drug business has had on the lives of the people who live in that region.
Is it tough to watch, Cindy?
Yes, it really is. And it gets progressively more difficult, but it feels like a documentary as you watch it. As I mentioned, it's so beautifully filmed. And where Tatiana found these talented little girls and the woman who plays the mother of one of them, it's just so well done, but it's disturbing.
Okay, that film again, Prayers for the Stolen. It's Mexico's Oscar submission for Best International Film. We're talking with our film critics about films they're recommending for you to go to the theaters to see or to stream online. Steve, let's move to Procession. The film we opened the show with is powerful documentary filmed in Kansas City about adult male victims of sexual abuse by area priests. It employs drama therapy to help them grapple with their ongoing trauma. How did you like this film?
Well, given the subject matter, of course, it's hard to and embrace, really. But what you do come away with is the courageous men who participated in it, who had to have juggled their personal exposure with this trauma versus their need to not only heal, but to give a voice to others who might be in the same situation, whether they're 12 or 35, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cindy,
powerful film, yeah.
Cindy, what was your reaction to it?
I was intrigued by this concept of drama therapy. And I think Michael explained it quite well in the conversation he had with you. So it's a new take on how to tell a story and tell this particular story about the tragedy and abuse.
Okay, Procession is now up on Netflix for folks to check out. They'll recognize some scenes shot around Kansas City in this film. Again, the film is titled Procession. Well, Cindy, let's move on to one that'll have maybe some broader interest. It's a film, it's a documentary about Brian Wilson. It's titled Long Promised Road, The Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. Warts and all doc about the California kid behind the Beach Boys. It includes frank conversations about his mental illness and drug abuse, and it also features accolades from fans like Bruce Springsteen and Elton John. It's now screening at the Screenland.
Well, if anybody remembers the music as being an influence on them during their teen years, you're kind of part of my generation, because that music was more profound than I think we realized. It wasn't just about surfboards and girls. It was directed by a guy named Jason Fine, who was a former Rolling Stone journalist who befriended Brian Wilson. And he orchestrated these interviews with him while driving around L.A. It's sort of patterned after Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee and James Corden's Carpool Karaoke. It's a heck of a way to get your subject to open up to stories. I know I often did that with my kids. They seem more communicative sitting in a car and having a conversation than under any other circumstances. Virtually the entire drive around L.A., going by houses where Brian used to live, he was scared and nervous and not comfortable with himself. Mm. It's amazing to hear from Elton John and Bruce Springsteen, and they included Nick Jonas. I don't know why, because there were so many other fans of the Beach Boys, but I think Elton John did a great job in describing what their music was all about and what a profound effect it had on him and on his music. But an abusive father and an abusive therapist did great damage to Brian Wilson's life. And this is a heck of a story that's been told in a documentary that's worth watching.
The documentary, again, is Brian Wilson, Long Promised Road. Let's listen to a clip here. It's Brian Wilson talking about getting back in the studio with the band.
What's been making you feel like making a rock and roll record?
I don't know. Well, actually, Summer Days and Summer Nights was a rock and roll album.
Yep.
But I'd like to do another one with covers instead of original.
Mm-hmm. Is your click okay?
How do you feel about spending a few days with your band?
I think it'd be nice to be back with them, you know?
It's about time we all recorded like this.
And we are here.
I'm nervous.
It's like you say when you go on stage, nervous for about 2 minutes.
Right, and then as soon as I hear California Girls, I'm cool.
That's Brian Wilson, Long Promised Road. Stop the clock, take time out, time to regroup before you lose the battle. That's from the film Tick Tock Boom, Tick Tick Boom, musical about the late Rent composer Jonathan Larson, played by Andrew Garfield during his earlier struggles to get a show up on his feet, featuring several cameos from current Broadway icon. Steve, tell me about it.
Well, it's really fun. If you're a fan of Rent, then you are a fan of Jonathan Larson, who tragically died the night the show opened in previews in New York of an aneurysm.
Wow.
And the cast went on. And here, Lin-Manuel Miranda directs this film, and Andrew Garfield plays Larson. And there's no Rent music in it, but it gives you a really close-up look at how the East Village in New York in particular influenced him and influenced the story that eventually became Rent, one of the most successful Broadway musicals ever.
Again, the film is Tick, Tick, Boom. It's all about Rent. I want to thank our film critics today, as always, Cindy Haynes. Cindy, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve Walker, always good to have you too. Thanks so much for the insights.
Ditto, Steve.